Good morning. This is Disability Justice, an everyday pursuit and survival. Your host, John Griffiths.
And Dina Wilder, board operator.
Here in the studio today is Gabrielle Gordon, director of OSAC.
The Oregon Self-Advocacy Coalition.
So, Gabrielle, would you mind giving us a little history on OSAC?
The Oregon Self-Advocacy Coalition is a coalition made up of 18 groups throughout Oregon that are built from self-advocates. We also support individuals that have intellectual and developmental disability to have a voice in their life. But the true meaning behind OSAC is the advocates themselves who give us strength to do the work. Originally, Oregon Self-Advocacy Coalition was actually known as Self-Advocates as Leaders. That was actually created out of the institutions themselves. The people...
Institutions. What institutions are we speaking of?
Fairview and other ones. At the moment, I can't remember the names of them, but Fairview is a really well-known one. And the institutions were where people with intellectual and developmental disabilities were actually just pushed into because they were born with a disability. It was not the easiest place for people to live, and when it came to time for the advocates to stand up and to start advocating, they were able to start creating advocacy groups, which in return ended up turning Self-Advocates as Leaders into OSAC.
Gabrielle, would you tell us about some of the successes OSAC has had?
Well, the Oregon Self-Advocacy Coalition actually became their own nonprofit organization, which is really exciting because it is advocate-ran. It is not just any organization. The people that are actually advocating are the ones that are running it.
By advocates, you mean people with intellectual disabilities are actually directing your efforts?
Yes, they are, 100% of the way. Without the advocates, I wouldn't have the job I have and be doing what I do. So we also, Oregon Self-Advocacy has also went and did a lawsuit called Lane versus Brown, which it is, I know Voc Rehab and some other organizations were involved, and it was based upon employment for all. So people actually being able to have the jobs they want in their community and being able to get the resources to be able to get those jobs. So that was a big win for us and also for the community itself, because now there's a lot of people that are actually benefiting from it, and they're having to like work on how they structure it so everybody's getting the equal opportunity. And I must say, Voc Rehab, had to go back to them myself, and they have changed some stuff. So that was pretty cool to see on first-hand basis. And I do have an intellectual and developmental disability myself. So that experience was wonderful for me. OSAC has also done a peer-to-peer mentoring project, which is we had 6 advocates that turned into peer mentors, go across the state and teach classes to other people about employment and to give them the information so they could choose to be able to get the job if they want in the community and what services they can use and what they can advocate for. Mm. Also, we do a lot of legislative work, and we do team up with John and Dina on a regular basis. And so there's a lot of advocacy at the legislative sessions that go on, and I really recommend people standing up and actually doing it, because you will feel empowered by having your voice heard.
I know the Go Project days go up there and they interact with the legislators. And most of the time you guys kind of like also cooperate with the Go Project in getting people, self-advocates, up there to interact with the legislators. Are you guys planning to do that again this year?
This year is going to be actually a shorter year, so we will be doing some of that work, but the 2021 is going to be our really big year, which is going to be the long session, and there's going to be more DD days, which is Go Project days, on top of just you can go up there anytime if you can't fit it into your schedule during the Go Project days.
So, Gabrielle, being that we go so often up to legislative sessions, who are the friendly legislators towards the IDD community?
Well, we actually, Oregon has a lot of them. We have so much support. It's actually been really awesome to see the support we've had, and especially during testimonies and just every day going and talking to them. But there is a couple that I think that we want to highlight at the moment, even though all of them are actually fantastic to us, where we get all excited when we go there.
Yes.
But somebody that has actually been there before I even got this job was actually Sarah Gelser.
And Alyssa Kenny-Geyer from the representative sites?
Yes. Those are two awesome women that really have had our back, as well as a lot of other ones.
Oh, yes. I mean, there are so many that have been so helpful. They've actually sat down and listened to me, even though I wasn't from their district. I mean, it's kind of cool to have representatives or legislators listen to you, even though you're not part of their district. So they're all friendly, kind of most of them are friendly towards us.
Yeah, and something to also consider is that the legislators themselves actually want to hear your stories. They don't want to hear the, you know, just other legislators' stories. They want to hear the people that receive services who actually experience different things. Or even if it's not just disability related, everything. Even if it's just a day-to-day, we're all human at the end of the day. So they just want to know how to best support people throughout the state.
Yeah, our legislators are really good at that. So, Gabrielle, can you tell me about the regional reps and their support, the other position underneath the regional reps?
So we're actually going to be hiring for the regional rep program, which is a program that will be placed in four different regions throughout the state. We're actually hiring 9 contractors to fill those positions. 1 support contractor who will actually run the program for us, and then 8 other ones, which include 4 regional reps and 4 community connectors.
And what are the community connectors? Who are they?
The community connectors will be the people that support the regional reps to do their jobs, like assistants. They're going to be doing the admin stuff and the support behind it and supporting the regional reps in any way they need to make sure that people in the IDD, Intellectual and Developmental Disability Service community, can actually have their voices heard.
And the regional reps themselves, what are their responsibilities?
They're to actually be the ones that are going out and supporting and mentoring and help create groups throughout the whole state, as well as support the groups that are local already and get people into advocacy and also support them to be able to speak up for themselves. But something to remember is the community connectors will be doing the same thing, but the regional reps are people that have to have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And the community connectors can have disabilities or don't have to be. And same for the support contractor.
And when do you suppose you'll get that in place?
We're actually working on a lot of the development. As a lot of people know, it takes a while to develop a statewide program/project. And so we're in the middle of development of the trainings and getting somebody on board for the contractor positions, as well as making sure everyone feels supported, because that is actually OSAC's number one thing, is making sure people feel supported in their positions when they're working with us.
So Gabrielle, what are the work groups about?
So there are actually a couple that come to mind right now. The ISP redesign is individual support plan, and it is to help people be able to create goals and to have their lives go and their services go the way they need and want them to go. That one's actually being worked on, and it is having a lot of stakeholders involved with it to be able to make sure everyone's being heard. Advocates are actually on that work group, and we are looking forward to when it comes out and it'll actually help people be able to use their services the way they want to.
Will it also be able to help them to increase their hours if they need to be increased?
So with the individual support plan, it is not per se, that's not the way to get hours. You would go on to the Oregon Needs Assessment, which is actually going to be coming out kind of fixed. They have work groups that are actually working on that as well, which will actually help be able to figure out how many hours you can get with the Oregon needs assessment. But remember, if you have had your own your hours cut due to ONA, you can go and tell your personal agent or service coordinator that you would like to have it reevaluated, and there might be some stuff that's actually missing out of it. You can always go back and say, I would like to talk about redoing this.
Yeah, I've been through that process. It is quite lengthy and takes quite a bit of time. And you really got to put in some effort to get what you want.
Yes, definitely. But at the same time, the Oregon Needs Assessment is being worked on right now, and I'm actually involved with that. And we are actually putting our two cents in on making sure that it's heard, certain things are heard. Please watch out for this. This is how I use my services, you know, and just kind of working with the state, who's actually been really encouraging and really been like, we want an advocate or two on those work groups. So they've really been encouraging about making sure people from families to siblings to the individuals that receive their services, and of course, professionals are on those groups.
And just out of curiosity, you know, there might be a few people that feel like they're not very well represented. Is there some way for them to get on to these committees at this time? Or are they completely inaccessible at this time?
At the moment, because the projects, the multiple groups or meetings are actually so far into it, it is going to be hard to do that. But you can contact Oregon Self-Advocacy Coalition. Tell us your story and we will take it to them. We will make sure that what you tell us is actually being heard, and we'll make it so you don't have to not feel like you're not being heard.
There are, I know there are many people, including myself, that always feel like somehow we are left out of the process. Even though we are strong self-advocates, it still feels like we're just not heard.
Yeah, I know it can be really frustrating. I actually used to experience that a lot before having this job. And I'm always there to listen and to be able to just be able to support people. But also, if you tell me your story and you tell me what's going on, I can bring it to some people that are around me. I do multiple groups in Salem during the month. And so I can, as long as you tell me your stories, I can actually bring it to light.
But you're not, you can't actually make a, you can't actually wave a magic wand and make things go away, can you?
No, but you can actually have your voice heard. And also, you'd be really surprised about the state workers. They actually want to hear those out of everything. Also, OSAC does do a open house once a year, and Lilia Tennedy, the director, actually comes to that event herself.
We should have her come in one of these days.
She would actually, she's really, really gets excited working with advocates. She actually emphasizes on working with advocates instead of just with the professionals or the family members.
All right. Thank you. So, Gabrielle, can we talk about your committees? And I do believe there's four of them, the Legislative Committee, Housing Committee, Healthcare Committee, and Employment Committee. Did I get all of them right?
Yes. Each of those committees have different goals. They're just like they sound. Legislative is doing project with legislative session, the GO project, kind of the different bills that are coming out, and also just making sure we're being heard and known in the community.
Do they also do senatorial hearings as well?
Yes, we definitely do a lot of testimony. Also on that committee, we actually have created letters with support of a somebody that does legislative work to go to the legislators on the different topics that they're requesting it on. It's like doing testimony, but with a group and making sure everyone's voice is heard.
And you're looking for people to join this committee that are outside of OSAC, but inside the IDD community.
Yes. So when you join the group, you do sign up as a member to be on that. But the commitment is usually only an hour, hour and a half. But during projects or special occasions, they can be more.
And that's generally across the phone, isn't it? So, I mean, phone or Zoom, something like that, so you don't actually have to travel.
No, it's always over the phone. And if you have any accommodations you need, please let us know, and we will do our best to actually accommodate to whatever is needed. The employment committee is, we talk to people about employment. We also supported a bill called a lawsuit called Lane versus Brown, which created rules and regulations to make sure that different service providers for employment are actually supporting with people with IDD to have jobs that they want in their community and have the knowledge they need to be able to have those jobs. Then we also have the healthcare committee. The healthcare committee has actually created modules on different things of ways to talk to your doctors, what to expect, little checklists, a little bit of everything on top of videos, which the healthcare committee actually got to act out in those videos. And they're actually an OHSU's and OSAC's actually involved with it. And it gives OSAC some prompts on that as well. There is always those type of situations. That also in the employment committee, I did forget to bring up one thing. There's an employment provider guide out there that actually the employment committee actually helped recreate for the state, because it just was not making sense to people. It was not the way that we needed it to be able to use it effectively and be able to choose what employment provider we wanted and what services to use. And then the housing committee is actually our newest committee. They have a survey that I really recommend everybody contacting us about and filling it out. We have a really fabulous person that's actually the chair on that committee, who actually has real housing background and has connections. And all these committees are always looking for new projects to make sure everyone's heard.
And the person on the housing committee, that's Alan Hines?
Yes.
The director of Real Choice Initiative?
Yes.
And they're already pretty, I mean, Real Choice Initiative is already pretty well involved in housing issues.
Yes, definitely. He's actually the chair on that committee, and he is wanting to start off with a survey, but he's also wanting to do more projects to support people's voices. And he really emphasizes on having people's voices heard.
All right. And each one of these committees, they're like an hour and a half on the phone or on Zoom.
Yes.
And you are looking for people that are part of the IDD community. They don't necessarily have to be a part of OSAC.
Well, with the committees, you do have to technically sign up as a member, but that does not mean you have to be involved with anything else that OSAC does. It is really, if you don't want to go do legislative stuff, you don't have to do legislative stuff. You want to sign up for only one of these committees, you don't have to do any more than that.
Uh-huh.
It's really based upon what you want. We do want consistent people, though, because we need your voices. Your voices are the reason OSAC is who they are, and that's how we are able to advocate. It's by having everyone's voice heard, not just a few throughout the state, because we are a statewide coalition.
And what is the capacity of these committees? I mean, are you guys pretty packed with staff members that can take on lots of projects, or is it mostly the people on the committees will be taking on the projects themselves when it comes to, like, if you're on housing, then you'll probably have to get a little bit more involved with housing, or is it you can be as little or as much involved as you can tolerate?
Well, with that, we do have, of course, our committee members are number one, and we support people to do things. We are working on the regional rep program right now, so we're really focusing on that, but are looking for projects to get going and to kind of plan out for the future for those committees, and also do small things right now to get things going. What we really look for is actually people that are willing to commit on doing, being part of that committee and having their voice heard. And being able to also have people say, "Hey, I have this idea. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do to make this come to reality."
And I was wondering about, I know that this year we did get some rental control, and I was just kind of curious I think Alan was kind of really poignant in getting some stuff across. So, I mean, that's definitely one committee that's definitely had some success, hasn't it?
Well, all the committees actually this past year have been working towards getting more goals and doing stuff. But we're constantly looking for new projects and also looking for more grants to do those projects as well. So that is a really big one. And so he emphasized on the housing committee and listening to people's voices and making sure they're all heard. The employment provider guide came out this past year. And also the healthcare toolkit just came out as well this past year. And the videos were professionally done with support with OHSU, and the committee members are done that. Legislative committee, this past year, we did some legislative work and also did a written out testimony, which is what the legislative committee all got to go together and actually say their part to make sure it was heard in the testimony.
And
OHSU.
Yeah. What is exactly?
Oregon Health and Science University. We do a lot of work with them. And you said, I must apologize, I don't remember the full write out of that name, but they have been really big with us too. They support our healthcare committee and also help us do projects, which are the people that are actually were involved with that type of stuff.
Oh, so you do have a partner with one of your committees.
We do have partners. We do partners, but the main voice on those committees needs to be the people that receive services, or even if you don't, have to have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And of course, all community partners are always welcome.
All right. Gabrielle, thank you for being here. And I do hope to have you back after you've gotten your regional rep project going. We really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me.
The four committees of OSAC are legislative, housing, healthcare, and employment. If you're interested, please contact Gabrielle Gourdon.
gabrielle.gudon@askosac.org. Her number is 503-308-1310. You can also go to askosac.org. That's askosac.org.
Go Project Day is February 12th, Wednesday, in room 350 at the Oregon Salem Capitol Building.
If you want more information about the Oregon DD Coalition Go Project, go to ORDDCoalition, that's COALITION.org.
Our self-advocate taking action meeting is every second Friday of the month from 11 to 1 p.m. at the Seven Corners Building.
The Seven Corners Building is located at 2475 Southeast Ladd Avenue in Southeast Portland. Also at the Seven Corners Building is Real Choice Initiative's Coffee Hour from 2 to 4 every fourth Saturday of the month. So this month of February, it will be on the 22nd.
During Real Choice Initiative Coffee Hours, we discuss the various problems that are existing within the disabilities community. We invite you to come and join us. Something fun to do is Public Annex, which meets every Wednesday at Tabor Space from 10:30 to 1 o'clock. The cost is $5, and they do different art projects every week.
Another fun thing is that Oregon City Library has really been listening to the intellectually disabled community and listening to what we want as far as programming. So they have developed something called Because Accessibility Matters, and has a lot of programs coming up for us.
If you have a disability story that you would like to share, go to ucporegon.org, scroll down the list, and find This Is Our Voice. Trump's continuing war on those with disabilities and the poor. Keep your eyes on his planned cuts to SSD and food stamps. Trust me, people, he's going after Social Security next.
Next week will be KBOO's fundraiser, and it is programs like ours that you will be helping to give a voice to people who are not normally heard. So please take that time to give next week.
That's the end of Disability Justice. Since we cannot be fully aware of everybody's difficulties within the community, we would really like it if you would send us your email, disabilityjustice@kboo.org.
Also, we're always looking for fun, inexpensive things to do out in the community. Go to disabilityjustice@kboo.org to contact us and give us your ideas.